Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Thursday on the Horn, but boy, in a good mood today. The sun is out. That's a good thing. Would you say you can feel the sun on your back and it's making you grow?
It's making me grow again, yes.
Finally. Like a flower?
Absolutely.
Sunshine on my shoulders. And it is shining right in on you. Like
yeah, it feels good.
Beautiful day today. We need that. Hey, so, by the way, you and I, who grew up in the Midwest, I certainly grew up in the Rust Belt of Ohio, first 8 years.
I just lived there.
You go 5 months without seeing the sun.
After we've dealt with a week like we've dealt with,
you go 5 months and you don't see the sun. That's for sure. That's for sure, Zay. Our man CB on Twitter.
Oh, Washington,
Chris Bennett. He's up in Seattle. He'll deal with that. Yep. And it can bring you down.
It was over 100 degrees up in that area a couple days ago. They're in a drought.
Well, we've got some water we can share.
Yeah, we got plenty. They've been in droughts in that part of the country. They very seldom get that up in Washington State and Idaho.
Yeah, where they're getting droughts, we're getting like Florida weather where it rains every day.
Yep.
The very wet pattern, that low pressure.
Trust in the farmer's almanac. Just trust in the farmer.
I think we'll get summer soon enough, but excited. It's a busy morning. A lot going on. Buck ons and buck offs. We're down to, we'll have one more game, or two more games now to decide the playoffs in the NBA. One tonight in the East. One tomorrow night in the West. So we'll get there. We got baseball. We're going to talk to Gene Watson here in a minute from the LA Angels. You know, Gene's been our baseball insider for a long time. He was with the Royals for their World Series wins. And this offseason, we haven't talked to him since he took his new gig with the LA Angels, which is exciting for Gene and a new opportunity. But I figured yesterday when we saw another no-hitter, I was like, well, if someone can help us explain all these no-hitters and these terrible batting averages on these teams, it'd be Gene. What's going on in Major League Baseball? You realize we've had 6-0 no-hitters already, Buck. We're on pace for 24. And we've also had, you know, of those 6 no-hitters, 3 of them were like a batter away from a perfect game. Like, they're not even putting ball in play. I mean, they're not even, we don't get perfect games almost ever. We almost had 3 perfect games in 6 weeks of baseball.
Yeah.
So we'll see if Gene.
They've never been against garbage teams.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what I want Gene to, well, he won't say they're garbage teams. But
no, they're not. They're bad average teams.
Yeah, they're not very good. And as we said, the Mariners starting lineup last night, their team batting average 198. They've got 4 dudes in the lineup last night under 200. Their leading batter is 256. And that's why if you're an Astros fan, you enjoy watching your team because they lead the major leagues in hits and batting average, and they hit some home runs, but they'll still put the ball in play. Rangers are among that group that they've been no-hit twice now already after last night. They're part of that, you know, rough lineup situation. But that's part of the morning. We're talking football as well. We'll reset the Big 12 and their Big 12 Media Day announcement. Also, Steve Sarkisian. How about this, Buck? The name you need to start thinking about for high school football recruiting, Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Arch Manning. He's the nephew of Eli and Peyton, son of Cooper. He's a hotshot kid and apparently has a nice relationship with Steve Sarkisian. We'll get you details on that coming up. Can I give you my Storage War issue?
Please, what's up?
Because you're a fan of Storage Wars. I did not know this.
Did you see Brandy from your hood?
Yeah, it turns out Brandy Passante. Says her hometown is Harris County, Texas. Now, that's a large county. Very large county.
Exact place.
Yeah, it doesn't say where she grew up in Harris County. But, you know, that's a lot of people there. But you like the Storage Wars. So, you know, we moved a year and a half ago now, 20 months ago, we moved from Buda to Onion Creek, okay?
Okay.
And we downsized. That was part of the deal. We had, you know, an acre of land, and our kids were all about to be done with high school. So I was like, we still have a nice house, but not as much land to take care of and all that goes with that. So when we moved, I rented a storage unit not far from our house, kind of behind Onion Creek there.
Okay.
Because we had some stuff, and I was thinking, well, the kids will use it for apartments and...
Oh, yeah. They come back.
We hadn't used anything.
Guess what? Kids don't want your stuff, by the way.
This is a buck off to me in a large way. So if you add it up, I'm spending like $100 a month. So I spent, you know, $1,200 a year to store stuff that I'm not going to use again, I don't think. My kids, I've already spent more than any of that's worth. So this is nice furniture in there.
Back in the day, kids used to like their parents' stuff. They would take their parents'
stuff.
That's
right.
They don't want your stuff now.
Beds,
they don't want any of your
tables,
stuff.
Good stuff. When our kids start getting apartments, I don't want to go out and have to buy this stuff or have them buy it.
The stuff that they grew up with as kids.
Well, give it to them.
They don't want it.
Hell no.
I try to do that to my daughters. They go, dude, I do not want your big-ass furniture.
Well, so now I'm about
you
to have
big furniture. We don't need that here.
I'm about to have a garage sale. They go to IKEA now.
Yes.
Now I'm about to have this garage sale, but here's the problem. This is the buck-off. I've lost the key to the lock that's on the door. Like, my key. Like, I can get into the place, the facility, but I can't. I got to. And it's one
it's
of
like
those.
Storage Wars. They come in with that saw.
Yes.
They're going to have to do that. They're that's going to cost you, dude.
I know.
Dude,
I can't find the key anywhere. It's a tiny little key. It's a tiny little key.
We got a bit right now, E. Let us have a bunch of guys go up to your storage thing. We'll cut it open and do a Storage Wars episode, and we'll film it.
Fine.
And we'll have an auctioneer, and somebody can buy your storage and then go through it and see what they can get for it.
I do know I have every Sports Illustrated from 1980 to about the year 2000 in there.
Let's set up a bit for Storage Wars, and we'll have Tavo come over and try to bid for it. OU Mark, Little Kev, just like Storage Wars, like those losers on Storage Wars.
Done. If I can bid for it, because I can stop paying this monthly ransom that I've signed up for.
Or we can get people on the Specs text line and said, I'll come and bid on East Storage. You know you got some UT gear in there, right?
I got some stuff. I got a couple Bud Light cool neons in there.
Sold. Let's go.
Come on, man.
Let's get an auction. We'll get an auctioneer.
Some weights and stuff and bikes. It's in there.
Tavo will bid. They'll bid $2,000 for that.
I
got to
get
storage.
It open first.
No, we cut the lock like they do in storage. We film it all.
Oh.
They cut the lock off of those things.
Well, you watch that show so you can be the director of our video. Hey, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline because he's listening to this madness. He's in Las Vegas this morning, and so he's up early for us, and we appreciate it. Doing his best to be our baseball insider from the Los Angeles Angels. He is our friend Gene Watson. Good morning, Gino.
Good morning, guys. If you guys want to come dig into my closet, I've got some Texas footballs from 30 years ago that we could sell, too.
Oh, dude, I know nice. You got a storage room, Gene, full of stuff.
Brother, if we opened up a consignment shop together, we would kill it, because I've got stuff I don't even know what to do with.
Wow.
Well, hey, good morning, and thanks for getting up early. We know you're in Vegas, and it's just after 7 o'clock there on the Strip. And let me ask you, as we haven't spoken to you on our show, I know you've been on with Craig and the guys a few times since you've taken this new position, but congratulations, and how are you enjoying your new role with the Los Angeles Angels?
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, every day something different. I'm seeing our AAA affiliate here in Vegas. I was with the major league team in Houston and Arlington. One day I'm involved in the draft. So rather than being relegated to one department and 14 scouts that you're kind of air traffic control of, every day is kind of a breath of fresh air and a different part of the organization, so it's really, really been an enjoyable change for me.
Well, good, and it's, you know, you're in an organization that's, I mean, it's, you know, people want to see the Angels do well, and I wanted to ask you before we get into the no-hitters and baseball and what's going on in the industry, talk to me about being a part of watching what Shohei Ohtani is doing. I mean, it's hard to even put words on and find a parallel in another sport. I mean, he's leading baseball in home runs. His pitching ERA is 2.0-something. It's really remarkable what Shohei is doing on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah, and I don't want to overplay it when I say this, but guys, I've never seen anything like it in the game. And it started early on for me in spring training when you saw the guy and the way he came to the ballpark and prepared. And one of the things that we wanted to do with him early on was just let him be himself and not put limitations on what he does in any particular day. And that was really, really important to us as a baseball operations department. But the other thing that was important is that we wanted him to be a part of the team and, you know, not kind of be on his own program. And he bought into that early. And from there, things just kind of took off. He became, you know, closer with his teammates, and his teammates really rallied around him to support him with his work routine. And I don't think people understand with Shohei that every day he wakes up, he doesn't have a city or a state. He's got a country watching him, and he's just an unbelievable human being, and it has been one of the cooler things I've ever gotten to do with baseball is watch him play every day.
He's got to be a physical kind of athlete to do what he's doing. I know he's smooth as silk when you watch him bat and when you watch him pitch. I mean, what kind of guy is he physically? Is he a strong – I mean, is he a strong kid?
Core strength, loose. I mean, it's like if you could design an athlete,
yeah,
the athlete. I mean, it's NFL quarterback. It's, you know, mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. And just his routine and the way he goes about it it's remarkable.
It is. I mean, we've talked about it. And I know he had to lead the start last night with the Indians and the velocity down a little bit. We cross our fingers that everything's okay with him. But that's really going to be the question for me with him, Gene, is, you know, the durability, the long term of playing most every day and then pitching every fifth day. What's the strategy and the game plan for managing his load?
I don't think it's any different with him than it is with every player in baseball right now. And I mean, injuries are up like 23% right now from May of 2019. And I think we're seeing this with everybody. I mean, it's like teams aren't even vibrating right now because I think coming in, everybody knew that each player was going to be 2 to 3 weeks at some point. With Shohei right now, it's blisters. Alex Cobb's going to come off the DL today from blisters. I mean, that's another thing with, and I don't know if it's that they're not allowing the substances on the ball. I don't know if it's a change in the ball, but blisters, even in college baseball, have been a common problem this year. So that's something that the league's going to have to take a look at. But from a workload management standpoint this year, I think everybody kind of knew that it was going to get to a point to where everybody was going to be 2 or 3 weeks. It's just unfortunate that some of these guys are having major injuries that are costing them more than that during the season.
Yeah, including Mike Trout now, who's down for a couple of months, maybe till the All-Star game. Is there a chance, Gene, and then we'll shift gears, that Shohei, Bucky and I have talked about this, as I'm imagining, you know, Shohei Ohtani possibly starting the All-Star game as a pitcher, but also participating in the home run derby or batting third and getting a big hit. I mean, that would be, you know, something we've never seen before in an All-Star game.
You're going to laugh at this, but Perry Manassian, our general manager, predicted that early in spring training. I mean, he said, have we ever had anybody hit 3-hole and start an All-Star game? And that was an early prediction on his part. And I think there's a really good chance. And what it's got a chance to do is one, you know, it's got a chance to grow our game globally. It would be, you know, one of the most watched events in sports. And that's the one thing that Shohei's doing is, I mean, athletes from other sports are commenting about, you know, his talents. And that's really cool when you've got a guy that's that global and that, you know, transparent to other sports.
It's pretty awesome. Gene, all right, so no hitters now. 6 no hitters in, you know, 7 weeks of baseball. We're on pace for 24. Three teams have been no-hit twice already. We've talked all morning about the issues with, you know, the swinging for the fences and not just, you know, contact hitting versus this power pitching. But is it fair to say, as an industry, it's not a good product in a lot of cases at this point?
It's not. And Aaron, what's happened is hitters have lost their profile. And it's not just happening in Major League Baseball. It's trickling down to high school baseball. It's happening in our youth leagues where a hitter sees somebody do something and they think, well, that's got to work for me. And what we've done with the launch angle and the dropping of the barrel is every hitter thinks that they need to be that. And not only do they not need to be that, but they can't be that. And so you've got to have really, really, you know, high core strength to be a launch angle hitter. But the game has sold that. And so now it's trickled into the minor leagues, trickled into high schools, trickled into the youth leagues. And it's really, really damaging the overall production of the game because the hitters that are trying to do it don't profile. That's why strikeouts are up. That's why walks are down. And we've really created a product that's got 3 ultimate outcomes, and it's not good for our game. And when you take that coupled with the data that is out there, when I say that, I mean the TrackMan and the Hawkeye data where a pitcher knows what his pitch is doing, the pitch shapes, the vertical rise, the lateral spin, whatever it may be, of a pitch, and now they can apply that to a hitter's weaknesses. And no, I mean, we've got a pitcher, Mike Myers, who's one of our bullpen guys, that he's got one of the best cutters in baseball, and he literally knows he can throw it right down the middle of the plate relative to a hitter's swing, and they're not going to hit it. And so that's really what's changed is two things is the launch angle approach, the dropping of the barrel with the swing, and then the data that pitchers have with their movement, their pitch movements and their pitch shapes that it's kind of just a perfect storm of very, very low production offensively in baseball.
Very interesting. And for Gene, when you say profile of a hitter, describe that as a scout. I mean, they're getting outside of their what they should be doing. Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, you look at guys like Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve, little guys with a lot of power. But what people don't understand is they have a lot of power because they're very, very strong with their cores. So, but other small hitters see them doing that, and so they think they can hit home runs. And it has nothing to do with size, it has to do with core strength. And Bucky, I know you know this better than anybody from a football standpoint, but everybody thinks because they can do it, they can do it. So they go up and they give up 200 at-bats trying to do it. Next thing you know, they can't hit. And so that's kind of what it is. It's just knowing your profile, whether you're a run producer or a run scorer, top or bottom of the order hitter or middle of the order hitter. And so we've just kind of erased all the lines with that and made every hitter the same. We've got an industry in amateur baseball where people are selling on it, thinking that they can, you know, make those hitters those type of hitters, and they can't. And so it's just reciprocating its way all the way down, you know, to the youth leagues right now.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. Great analysis, Gene. That helped. I think a lot of our audience can take that and kind of understand, because we talked about the launch angle, and these pitchers are so, I mean, the high velocity adds to it too, because you got so many guys throwing so hard, and you a lot of times you'll see it, not in the no-hitter situations, but you'll see a different pitcher each time around, and they've got different stuff. Pretty incredible. Gene, when you look around and you look in that division with you guys and the Astros and the A's and the Rangers, where it sits, what jumps out with a couple of the ball clubs you're contending with?
Well, Houston is just, they're just keep on trucking. And what's going to be important for them, we just came out of there and I got to spend a lot of time with Jim Crane and with Jeff Bagwell while I was down there. And when you look at that team, if they can stay healthy, they're going to be very, very tough to beat. But we haven't really even reached the dog days. I mean, injuries are what they are right now, but we haven't reached the dog days of the summer. And when you get into, you know, mid-June into July and August, those bullpens are going to be wearing down, rotations are going to be wearing down, and now you've got to start to monitor the workload management of your pitchers, because again, you can't go from 60 to 162 and expect the innings to be so high. So now you've really, really got to try to monitor your pitches and number of pressure pitches in a game, and how deep they can go into games. And then from there, the team with the most health and the most depth is the team that's going to win. And so watch the standings. Write the standings down, print them out June 15th, and then watch what they are August 1st. Because you're going to see, you're kind of going to be coming around the second turn on June 15th, and you're going to see the teams that are the healthiest and the teams that have the most depth from a pitching standpoint are the teams that are going to kind of take off and separate themselves in mid-June to August.
And then down the stretch they come in the horse racing parallel from Gene Watson. Gino, the Los Angeles Angels senior advisor to the general manager and major league operations there. Always great, my friend. Great to hear you. Thanks for getting up early and enjoy Vegas.
Thank you, Gene.
You bet, guys. Hope you guys are all well.
Thank you.
We absolutely are. Hey, Gene, go hook them horns, right? And he cut him down. Yeah, Gene's a huge David Pierce and Texas baseball fan.
Absolutely.
In addition to everything else he has. That makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, that really broke it down as a senior advisor to a general manager would, very analytically. And hitters trying to do what they shouldn't be doing, and not enough guys trying to put balls in play, and, you know, somewhere.
And bad batting averages.
Oh, the batting averages are horrible.
At teams.
Horrible.
With some teams, yes.
I mean, it's horrible. I mean, it's not good baseball, and that's somewhere the great Augie Garrido is turning over in his grave with these wasted outs. I mean, Augie used to talk about productive outs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can, you know, if you can get somebody on and then you can have a productive out, we can put pressure on a defense. But if these guys are sitting in a rocking chair on the mound and just, you know, you're swinging, missing over and over, nobody's even putting the ball in play. The defense doesn't even get a chance to, you know, field the ball. You're not even putting pressure on a defender to make a play a lot of times in these games. That's discouraging. But
how can you do that?
There you go. Thank you, Augie. Right on time, Zay. All right, we'll come back. We have a lot of people interested in this storage war auction that we're coming in.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, my mom just texted me and said, I still need a television. I do have a television in there.
See, there you go. I'm telling you, there's stuff in there.
I got like a Tom McKay flat screen television that's
there's
in there.
There's stuff that you don't know that's in there.
I know.
Highest bidder goes in.
Now,
they don't get a chance to go in the locker. They just stand outside. They're not like storage wars. You can't go in the locker. You stand out and you just kind of peek around the corner at the boxes and stuff.
There's some nice furniture in there. There's some garden tool, like lawn equipment that I don't want in my garage. I don't know.
I'm telling you, Tavo would go, I mean, with his critical thinking and the kind of money that he makes, $2,000 he'd pay for your storage.
Done. That'll pay me back for the rent I've paid on the storage unit that I probably should have just gotten rid of the stuff in the first place, in hindsight.
This is your time to make that move.
Yeah, well, we're working. But I need help. If you're a locksmith out there, and I got one of those locks, it's like a circle lock. It's going to be hard to – you might have to cut it with a – like some type of
– They have a saw. They have the electric saw. It's cool. We got to do that. So you see all the sparks shooting out of it, the fans gathered around, and the auctioneer. Rodney Rodriguez says he's an auctioneer. He said he'll do the auction part of it.
Done.
We got to.
I just want somebody to open the damn thing because I'm such an idiot. I lost. We had two keys. You know, the lock comes with two keys. I had one on my keychain. How does a key fall off a keychain?
Plus, it's going to be great for the storage people. They're going to get the pub. This is such a bit all set up.
Let's
right
do it.
Here.
They're good people, too. They're right there on the down there behind Onion Creek. I like them. I like them. All right, we'll come back. When we do, we will continue that conversation. We'll tell you about Arch Manning and what he had to say about Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorn coaching staff. And is Dak Prescott a good bet to be the comeback player of the year in the NFL? At least one gambling website believes so. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Well, look at this. You people are phenomenal. I don't mind telling you. One guy texted me and said, hey, E, the key's probably in your car. You probably left it somewhere in your car to remind yourself that to not forget it when you go to the storage unit, which is a good point, and I wish that were
the
case.
Could be in a glove compartment.
No, it was on my keychain. But it was on a separate key hook, like a separate hoop on my keychain. And all of a sudden, I looked down. I don't even know when I lost it, but the separate hoop had come off somehow. I guess it was loose. So I don't even know where I would have begun looking for it. But I will continue to look for it.
By the way, why do they call it the glove compartment? Is that where the ladies used to put their gloves?
Good question.
When the men used to drive the car back in the day?
Why do they call it the glove compartment?
I got to believe.
Or the glove box. I've heard it called the glove box.
I think that's where women used to put their, you know,
men,
back in the day.
Work gloves.
Dudes wore gloves back in the day.
Work gloves.
Driving gloves.
Like workers, you know, work gloves.
Could be.
I don't know.
That's why they call it the glove compartment.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look
that up. My mind's on fire. I'm growing. I told you. The
sun's out.
Sun's out. Buck growing.
This says, if it's a master circle lock E, use a 3/8 drill bit. Drill out the brass key slot. If that doesn't open it, drill at the front right where it says number 40, and it will spin open.
You guys aren't used to just
I'm
take the one
down.
That buzzes and saw that sucker.
But
and
I
watch
can't,
the sparks fly.
No, here's the problem. You know, I like power tools, but listen, if I end up damaging the door, that's gonna cost me money to fix the storage places.
I know that little
property.
Round one. I had that. I have.
It's a tiny little deal.
Yeah, but you can get that. You can get that chainsaw on that sucker.
No, and I don't think. I don't know. I have to look at. But bolt cutters, it's gonna be hard to get enough.
Oh, you can't
leverage
get
with a bolt cutter.
No, that's not gonna.
Now, if it were like a master lock that's got the big horseshoe looking thing, you could get the bolt cutter on there and
oh,
snap
man,
that.
That lock has girth. I've seen those.
Yeah, they're thick, man.
Yeah,
and they kind of slide through. But I think that texture right there, that's the key. That's the key.
Listen, man, this store. This is such the one of the. This would be one of the greatest bits of all time that we've ever done. Better than jumping in a river walk. If you let these bozos actually do a storage and they're there to bid on you, better ask your wife about the furniture first. Before you go off and say, let's do it, she's got to know what her stuff is. You can't.
Yeah, that could be grounds for a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about the really antique kitchen table we were storing in there that was your mother's.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
Tavo now owns it.
It's at the La Hacienda.
Oh. That would be horrible.
No.
Okay, so players, the PGA Championship is underway.
Where's my guy? Is he gone off the course yet? Is
who's
he out?
Your guy? Sam Burns, the
I don't think he's
Hollywood
the
actor Sam Burns.
He's not there yet.
No, I don't see Sam Burns yet. But a lot of guys have gone off. The early groups are playing. Obviously, it's East Coast time there on the East Coast.
So I see, yeah. Is Ricky Fowler still plus? That dude,
no,
the commercial?
Ricky Fowler.
He was for a
your
while.
Your leader remains Cameron Tringali. He is okay. 3-under through 12 holes. Matt Jones is 3-under through 11 holes.
There's Ricky. He's minus two.
Rick Fowler is minus two. He's got the real porn stash going these days.
He does, man. He does.
Okay. Zach Johnson, 2-under. A lot of guys getting after it today. Colin Morikawa, your defending champion, 2-under through six. So we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully you got your picks in at hornfm.com. All right, so a lot of ideas. It says use a grinder. That's the easiest way. The grinder's one that kind of hooks up to your drill. It's got a zzz. I got one of those. I have one of those. Okay. I'm going to figure this out. But, you know, I asked the people at the storage unit if they have any type of picking of a lock.
No.
Like a Jimmy lock thing.
No, that dude wants you to cut that so you can pay for it.
I know. You'd have to pay us and we'd have to do it for you and... you know, my fear is I get in there and try to do it myself, cause damage, and now I got a real problem.
Yeah, it's going to cost you something to have that done. Those storage places don't do anything for free.
Well, that's why they're so lucrative. That's why they go up so much.
That's why they're building them all over the place.
Well, right, but because you create revenue on the land, and then you can just sell the land and move it to another place.
Yeah.
Start over again. And because people like me, there's so many people moving here, and they've got excess stuff that they don't want to put in their new house, so they need a storage unit. Well, those things are a cash cow, bro.
You can always do a bonfire, man.
I just want to get in the damn thing.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I want to get rid of everything. There's stuff in there I'd probably want. I just want to get in the thing. You know what I'm saying?
I got 3 acres where I am. I love burning stuff, so just bring some over. We'll burn that stuff, the furniture, everything.
All right. According to DraftKings.com, the clear favorite to be the comeback player of the year in 2021 in NFL football is one, Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott. Is there any doubt? I mean, is there anybody else? If I told you could get Saquon Barkley at plus 600, would you take that over Dak Prescott at 175?
Yeah, because Saquon has the ability to come and have about 1,400 yards rushing.
Yeah. I mean, if in year two of Joe Judge...
Yes.
Daniel Jones, the maturing, are they better? Do they have more weapons? Remember the Giants traded back. Who'd they end up drafting? They drafted the kid that Urban Meyer wanted out of Florida. Kevontae, what's his name?
The little guy, right?
The little receiver. Yeah, Tony.
Yeah.
Kadarius Tony from Florida is who they took. So they're looking for more weapons around Saquon. And remember, the Giants were brokenhearted when the Eagles traded with the Cowboys and took Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner. That's who they coveted, and they ended up with Tony. But so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Saquon's still a great player. Does he come back, and if he has a beast of a year?
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good value.
Beckham Jr.?
Now, the next three all have plus 600. Saquon, Joe Burrow, and Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey might be a decent bet. They're going to have Sam Darnold there now playing quarterback. They've got some weapons on the outside. It's year two with Matt Rhule.
Yeah, and I don't know if Christian had a really bad injury anyway. He just needed time. That may be pretty quick.
He had a series of injuries, didn't he? He got hurt.
A bunch of ankle, high ankle sprains.
Then he came
and
back,
stuff.
Then he got hurt again.
Right.
It was just kind of a wasted year for McCaffrey. But he is the problem. The thing with McCaffrey, like Saquon, but even more, is he's such a weapon out of the backfield. So you hand it to him, throw it to him. He's a guy that could end up with big numbers at touchdowns, and all of a sudden he is your comeback player of the year. I like that one. Other names on this list, Nick Bosa, Derwin James, Von Miller, Joe Mixon, Odell Beckham Jr., and Jimmy Garoppolo as potential guys you can vote for comeback player of the year. And I really like the category that we created, that we should create, the coming back from sucking category. Like, you weren't hurt, you just weren't good. But there are three candidates that jump out to me as possibilities there, and that would be Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold, and Jameis Winston in New Orleans. Like, Jameis didn't play last year because he was behind Drew Brees, but in Tampa, he was replaced by Tom Brady, and he had 35 turnovers the year before. Which one of those guys, if I said you had to make a bet on that one, Buck, who's going to have the best year between Wentz, Darnold, and Winston? Because all three are projected to be the starting quarterbacks there in Indianapolis, Carolina, and New Orleans.
I don't know.
Zay, thought? Who do you got? I mean, Winston's got Sean Payton and a lot of weapons. Michael Thomas,
if
Alvin
he's a
Kamara.
Starter, he's only going to get halftime. I don't think he's going to get a full.
My sense is he'll earn that job, and they're going to keep Taysom Hill in the exact role that he's been in.
And James, or he'll throw a bunch of picks. Have that job.
Well, then if he starts throwing picks, Sean Payton's going to pull him, and Taysom Hill's going to be the quarterback. But my early sense would be Winston would get a first look at replacing Brees. He was a number one overall pick. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. He does have a lot of talent, in that system with Sean Payton and the play calling and the weapons. I like his opportunity. Sam Darnold with the Panthers, Colts, Carson Wentz. Who you got, Zay?
I like Carson Wentz. I think they have the most talent over there in Indianapolis, especially with what they did last year, going to the playoffs with Phillip Rivers and all the kids and stuff. So, yeah, Carson Wentz. I'm more with him.
Yeah, I know a lot of people will be focusing in that division on the Jacksonville team with Urban Meyer and all the headlines they're going to bring, Tennessee and Derrick Henry. But, man, if I had to pick right now an early candidate for breakout player, I'm putting Jonathan Taylor, the Colts running back. I mean, he really came on last year. By the end of the year, he was as good a back as there was. out of Wisconsin. I mean, he's got speed, power, and he's got that huge offensive line. Now they've got Wentz, who they think that they can, you know, stabilize their quarterback position. And, you know, if you're Frank Reich in Indianapolis, your number one job for Carson Wentz is to develop a running game, right? Be really good in the run.
Yeah, keep some pressure off of him because he didn't have it in Philly in the later part. The offensive line was banged up. He had to be the guy trying to throw and trying to make things happen.
Well, the biggest concern for Carson Wentz for Isaiah's pick is the word out of Philadelphia is that he just, much like we saw Aaron Rodgers get bent out of shape when they drafted the quarterback, when they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round, he didn't feel like he needed to compete for the job. Like, what are you doing? I'm Carson Wentz. I'm your quarterback. You got rid of Nick Foles. I've already won this competition. To which the Eagles, with their actions, spoke that, hey, we need you to be better, bro.
That's right. We need you. Absolutely.
And, you know, if he wilted to that competition and that competitive, then that would be concerning. Same time, there is no competition in Indianapolis. He's with a friendly face in Frank Reich. And I do like the talent level. And Jonathan, and the other guy that they have in Indy is Pittman, the receiver out of USC. He came on at the end of last year, too. So that's a big target to go with T.Y. Hilton.
Somebody said Zeke Elliott, comeback player of the year.
Well, he could be in that comeback from sucking category.
Yeah.
Zeke who?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, Dak Prescott could be the comeback player of the year from injury, and Zeke could be the comeback from bad season guy.
God, you guys are knowing all about breaking into stuff and toolboxes and
I knew these
handy-dandy
know
tool
stuff.
People for sure. So and I don't even know. Somebody just said there was something about someone said, I know Bucky's wife is from Lewiston, Idaho. And I'm like thinking, I never said where my wife was from. How do you know where my wife is from? They were asking about where Rod's fiance is from in Idaho. They said, I'm not trying to be a creeper, but they just said where my wife was from. I'm like, I've never mentioned one time on this show that my wife is from Lewiston, ever.
And someone knows it? It's called cyber stalking.
Is that what we just did to Brandy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're trying to dig on the lady from Storage Wars and where she's from and who she is.
Yeah.
Bucky wanted to see her jeans.
Yeah.
This says
I did. I saw that the other night. So,
get a Dremel tool with the cutting bit. Don't break their door. That's kind of my fear because all of a sudden I got this issue.
It's just a little slide door. You slide the little thing over.
I'm taking
right?
that grinder and all of a sudden I jam that thing and all of a sudden I got to buy that and replace the whole door. This sounds like a nightmare. It's like Curb Your Enthusiasm episode coming.
Somebody said, we listen hard. Yeah, winning's hard. I know. Back to winning's hard. We listen hard. Yeah, okay, I got you.
They listen closely. That is true.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you for that. We appreciate you listening casually.
Can't wait to have Storage
heavily.
Wars. E-style. Storage Wars.
Storage Wars. E. Hogan. And that'll translate on to the next one and the next one and the next one.
It'd just be great. Ask your storage guy how many of those storage those storage deals they have that the people have run out, they're overdue.
You can't do that anymore. They've got you on direct deposit.
What do you mean direct?
First of the month, money down.
Oh, no. If you skipped on your storage, you don't have a credit card anymore. Believe me. They
canceled the card, and now you're gone.
No, you're gone. You're gone.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So don't worry about that. They're not going to get any more payments off anybody's card that's like 8 months down. They're not going to pay you back anytime soon. So let's go ahead and get this done. We'll do about 4 or 5 storages. You know what I'm saying? We'll get the auctioneer. We'll get Tavo, OU Mark, Yum Yum Ice Cream. We'll get BK to be out there. We'll film it all.
Okay.
And you can make your money. Not only can you make your money back, you'll give the guys at the storage place. He'll start getting business. Another sponsor here, up in here, Storage Deck Number 2. It works. And it's a great bit.
I like it. And we like bits. We're looking for bits.
Love
I need
bit.
A drill bit, and now we need bits. I mean, look, if I get in the damn thing, I might donate a bunch of it to
No.
The people that need new furniture out there.
We're not donating crap. This stuff is sold.
I'm going to donate some of it to the homeless in the city parks.
This is sold.
When they put them all in city parks, I'll give them some of my stuff.
Yeah, this is, believe me, this stuff is sold. By the way, buck off to those dudes who brought that dog in here. It crapped. It is a buck off Thursday, right? I don't think you escaped us, Mr. Green Jeans and Gatekeeper and Butt Rash. You haven't escaped. It's a buck off Thursday. And you bringing that dog into here, into this studio, is a no-no, and you are a clown. So don't think we forgot about you. By the way, we'll probably never forget about you.
Butt Rash. We'll be back.
You know what I'm saying?
B&E on the horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Fun show today. Appreciate everybody, the contributions, the conversation. It is the show of the people, after all. If you missed any of it, it's all podcast at hornfm.com. Had a good debate about the top five Big 12 storylines. Now that we know the Big 12 media days are July 14th and 15th in Arlington, Cowboys Stadium. They included, is OU the number one team, or will they be? How good is Iowa State? Still bucking on, or some will buck off Matt Campbell, the head coach at Iowa State, with a report from Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports that this offseason, Matt Campbell of the Cyclones turned down an 8-year deal worth $68.5 million from the Detroit Lions to remain at Iowa State. That's a lot of cash.
Yeah, and Dan, and you know, Campbell is just the other Cam. Dan Campbell is just happy to get half of that.
Yeah. I mean, that report. And
maybe he got half. Who knows? Maybe been less than that.
He's got the same last name, but not the same contract.
No.
The new head coach of the Lions. Also, new head coach at Texas. So we're excited about that. A couple of months out now to Big 12 Media Days and a buck on to the Big 12. I do think that's a wise, I mean, I don't buck on a lot that the Big 12 does as far as their, you know, decision making a lot of times. But in this case, I think this is right on as far as putting that. I mean, that's the day after the All-Star game. We just talked with Gene Watson this hour where Shohei Ohtani could come out of that All-Star game as the story if he was the starting pitcher for the American League and you know, had a couple hits. That would be unprecedented. What a story it would be. But then the next day is day one of the Big 12 Media Days, and that's the slowest day of the sports calendar traditionally. Now, there will be, I think the Summer Olympics will have started, right? Or when did the Summer Olympics begin? But either way, that's a good spot. If you want to get national attention for your conference and you want eyeballs and you want everybody in the nation that covers college football to be showing up to interviews Lincoln Riley and Spencer Rattler and put your, you know, Matt Campbell and talk about why he turned down $70 million to come back. I mean, those are good storylines. It's a compelling year in the Big 12. And then you add a new head coach at Texas that I think is going to come off pretty well in a situation like that. So looking forward to that. That was a good conversation.
Yeah, we need to get Matt Campbell this year. He's always kind of hanging around and standing around. Now his team is right in the thick of things. We need to talk to him for sure.
Yeah.
Plus, he's a big old dude.
Well, Matt Campbell was a defensive lineman.
Yeah,
he played.
Big dude.
Yeah, he's a big 6'4 guy and a really good football coach and obviously thought highly of around because he turned down a Jets job the year before that. He turned down he understands he's going to have his opportunity, but he really wants to finish this deal. And
he does.
You never know. I mean, we've always assumed Matt Campbell will move on. Maybe that's where he wants to be. He just wants to build a program in Ames, Iowa.
Yeah, he makes enough money.
Not $70 million.
We'll make that. I know that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Plus, we have the NBA with, was it the end of Greg Popovich last night? As far as the head coach of the Spurs, they lose out of the playoffs for the first time in back-to-back years in the franchise's existence. You think it is? You think it's going to be the time after he coaches Team USA that he'll call it a career?
Yeah, and especially
and
if they
predicted
win.
Becky Hammond to be the new head coach.
Yeah.
You got this thing all done.
Why not Becky? It's that time, you know what I mean?
It wouldn't shock me, but I think they'll do, you know.
No, please don't say a thorough search, because all they do is rotate a bunch of old dudes that come right back to the next team and to the next team. Now is the time.
This says Matt Campbell wants to coach the Cowboys. Oh! I think Matt Campbell at some point would strangle Jerry Jones. That would be kind of that relationship.
I bet you'd like to make it happen there.
Or maybe, you know, he's an Ohio kid, Massillon, Ohio. Maybe it's an Ohio State kind of thing.
Could be.
You know, one of those deals, big picture, that's going to lure him away. Notre Dame has been a name, too, for Matt Campbell as a Midwestern kid. All right, we come back. It'll be bright and early tomorrow morning, or dark and early Friday morning. When we hear you next and see you next, that'll be tomorrow at 6 a.m. Thanks to everybody on a Buck Off Thursday. Buck Ons and Buck Offs brought to you by Green Mountain Flower Company. Every hour podcast at hornfm.com. Coming up next is Light the Tower. Then it's Shirts and Skins through the midday. RBKD this afternoon. Remember, it's Thursday. That means Flex ATX tonight. All your high school football coverage. Congratulations, Buck, to the Westlake boys golf team. Won another state championship yesterday out in Georgetown.
It's got back-to-back, right?
Yeah, they won like four in a row, I think.
Mm.
Westlake, congratulations to Coach Noakes. I'm sure they'll be talking about that tonight on Flex ATX. 7 to 9, live, local, and digital on your Horn app, your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.